Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Felix Martua series, Indonesia's ultimate music podcast with me, music journalist Felix Martua. With me, by my side, is none other than Alexander 23.
Hello, thanks for having me.
First of all, should I call you Alexander or Alex or Mr. 23 or what?
Mr. 23 is nice, but yeah, Alexander's good.
Alexander is good.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously, you just performed at We The Fest, and that was your first time performing in Jakarta ever. And you know what? This is basically like an obligatory question. I have to ask this.
Yep.
What was your impression and how did you like absorb that whole experience performing in Jakarta for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it was something I've been looking forward to for years now. So to finally get here was really nice. It was an honor. And the fans were like even better than I could have ever imagined. They were so sweet and very, very kind.
Okay. And are you probably thinking of performing in Jakarta again some other time?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm already talking to my team about getting back here and doing a show because just the love yesterday was so nice. So I want to come back and do it again.
Okay, so that's all that we should talk about your gig in Jakarta.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let's move on to like the main business at hand,
great,
which is your latest album, Aftershock.
Yep.
It was released last year, but you just released the deluxe edition like this month.
Yeah.
And personally, I really love it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think that it marks like a beautiful next step from you as a musician, as a singer, as a songwriter, as a producer. But I think before we dig deeper into that particular record, I just want to like take you back a little bit and see the bigger picture of your career so far. Because I remember when you first came up, there was a lot of phrases sad pop showing up in the conversation. Because at the beginning of your career, your songs had been like relatively sad and gloomy and moody and stuff. And I think it perfectly captured the mood of the modern audience at the time. But then, cut to your current era, the Aftershock era, I sense that this time your emotional state, at least in the record, is a bit grittier, is a bit rougher, I should say. I think this is like a completely grown-up album. And I'm just curious, like, looking back, like, from your first EP, okay, then the second EP, and now, how would you perceive your evolution as a musician so far?
It's a great question. And I also want to say thank you because that was kind of like the intention of Aftershock was for it to be a little bit more raw, a little bit more real. I think through like my first couple EPs, I kind of gained the courage and, or I guess the confidence to kind of make stuff how I had always wanted to make stuff, which is a bit more analog, a bit more like real instrumentation, experiment with like arrangements a little bit more. I'm really proud of the first two EPs, but they're very much so more like in the box. And by that I mean they're more like contained recording wise.
Right.
And for Aftershock, I really wanted to kind of like push the boundaries of like my engineering skills and my producing skills and stuff like that, and really like experiment and find something that felt a little bit more like it was in the room with you rather than it was coming out of a computer.
Okay, I remember like at the beginning of your career, basically you did everything by yourself. But for this particular project, for Aftershock, I mean, there are times when you work with other songwriters, with other producers. I think the most obvious name that pops up in my head right now is The Nigro. But there are songs like Fall 2017 when you did everything by yourself. So I'm just curious, like, at this stage of your career specifically, how would you decide, okay, for this particular song, I think it will be best for me to work as a team, but for songs like Fall 2017, which is my personal favorite.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, I think this is something that I have to do on my own. Like, how would you like determine which pathway works best?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me, most of the time, and I this extends to like outside of making music too. This extends to like how I consider like building my team. You know, it's like I don't like to delegate until I feel like I need to. So like, if I feel like I can do something myself, I'll do it. But on a song where I feel like I'm not maybe the right person to get it to like 100% of its potential. I'm very fortunate to, in the fact that a lot of my friends, I think, are the most brilliant people, you know, making music right now. Like working with Dan is a dream, you know, and he's so good, and he's so good at getting the best out of the song, which is really nice.
Okay. I have a pretty stupid question. Okay. But
I bet it's not stupid.
Oh, thank you. I hope so too. All right. So last year, you received your first ever Grammy nomination for being one of the producers for Olivia Rodrigo's debut album, Sour. Mm-hmm. And you have been making quite a name of yourself as a producer for like Rene Rapp, David Kushner. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you ever bump into David Kushner, please tell him that Felix says hi.
I will.
Okay. Sounds because good. Like, I'm his fan now. Really, yeah, I think he's really amazing. So basically, as a producer, you're like quite sought after right now. So my question here is, why do you still bother making a name of yourself as a soloist, knowing that you are already up there as a producer for other artists? What is it that you're trying to seek as Alexander 23?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, for me, like making my music will always be like my favorite thing to do in the world. And I also grew up, like, I think a lot of kids now grow up in, like, in the studio. Like, I grew up playing shows, you know? And so, like, putting out my own music as a means of, like, getting to go and tour and come here and, you know, play a festival, yesterday for thousands of people in Indonesia. Like, that's something you can't, that's a feeling you can't get as a producer, you know? And so, I just love making my music. I love playing shows and playing the songs out for
people. You think all younger producers out there should try their hands on performing as well, just like you have?
I mean,
or maybe it's not for everyone.
If you're called to, I think you should, and you don't have to like try and make a career of it, you know, you don't like to go as deep as I've gone with it, but I think you should, because I think it gives you a certain empathy in the studio that artists really appreciate. And I think that's been something that I've noticed, where it's like, I know what it feels like to like be jet lagged in Indonesia and play a festival, you know? And so like bringing that energy back in the studio, you know, like I think I'm able to more effectively empathize with artists, you know, in there. And like the fact that I think some producers, you know, like the song lives in the studio and it's beautiful that a song can live in the studio. But the reality is eventually that song comes out and you have to play it for the rest of your life if it goes well. So it's like having that lived experience, I think, has helped me a lot as a producer.
Okay. So let's go back to Aftershock, right? So I think that especially compared to Oh No Not Again, your previous EP before Aftershock, I can sense another like level of ambition in this particular album. Maybe because this is your first LP, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, like when you were working on this LP, like what kind of goals that you have in mind? Is there like a particular thing that you would like to achieve by the end of this journey?
It's a good question. I don't think there was necessarily like a goal, like I wanted to do this well, or I wanted to take me here. I think like the goal was really like, how do we make the songs as good as they can possibly be? Like once I had all the songs written, I was like, okay, I feel really good about the quality of the songwriting here.
Right.
Like how do we squeeze every last bit of potential out of these songs? And a lot of that, I you know, like it's funny because like I did half the album with Dan. But in a way, it felt like I did the whole album with him, because even the songs I was doing on my own, like I was kind of taking the energy that we were putting into those other songs and like bringing it back into my studio and like trying to like put the same amount of finesse and attention to detail into every song.
But how did you make sure that you would not end up repeating yourself?
I wasn't really too worried about that, because I kind of have like a short attention span as far as like the tools that I'm using. Like some people like use the same tools over and over again for years, and like that's never been my approach. So like I'm never really too concerned about it being like repetitive, because I'm always using different tools, you know, and I'm always like listening to different stuff and getting inspired by new stuff. So it's like, I don't know, I think you can kind of like try and reverse engineer stuff to death of like, oh, I want this to be like this, but like for me it's always been a bit more effective, and the truth is not only effective but fulfilling and fun to just like let it be whatever it's going to be. Like I'm not going in being like, it has to be like this. I'm in the studio just like, well, if it feels good, then it's right, you know?
I totally understand that. And of course, there are musicians out there who basically simply follow their gut feeling when they are working on a certain record. But now I'm curious, like, how did you decide that, okay, I think what we have right now is something great. I think this could be like a very good LP. And I think this is it. Let's cut it. Let's master it. Let's engineer it. Let's release it to the public. Like, when was the point when you finally like figured it out?
That's a good question. I think that feeling kind of changes and evolves over time. Okay. It's rarely like, oh, I have it now.
I have it now.
Or if you do feel that, the next day you're like, no, I don't have
no,
it.
No,
anymore,
no, no, not finished yet.
I think for me, like, it's another thing where it's been really beneficial to like have the like the playing live experience where mm-hmm. it's like, that's always been a nice litmus test for me of like, well, do I want to go play this for people around the world like mm-hmm. live?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, and I can like stand behind it on a stage with a microphone in front of people, like mm-hmm. then that usually means that it feels good enough to kind of finish and produce and master.
Yeah. And like I said before, I sense that this particular project is way grittier than mm-hmm. your previous EPs. And at least from your point of view, like, do you agree or like what kind of vibe, what kind of emotional atmosphere yeah. that you were trying to?
No, I definitely agree. And I think now that I'm thinking about it, like part of that was, mm-hmm. I think even if you saw like me tour on my second EP, like my uh-huh. live show was always a lot grittier than the records were.
Yes, definitely.
And so like, I definitely wanted to take that energy back into the studio mm-hmm. where I was like, okay, well, I'm taking all these songs and I'm doing live arrangements that feel much more like rocky and grittier. And why can't the record sound like that too? Like if right. it feels that good and it feels right and it feels like that's like the right like dress for me to wear, then why can't I take mm-hmm. that energy in the studio and yeah. make it like that?
I mean, I read somewhere that one of the reasons why you decided to take up the stage name Alexander 23 was because you first wrote your songs when you were 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And now you're like 28, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So have your songwriting process and your creative process changed since then? Do you still love songwriting the same way that you did back when you were 23 and young and naive? And
yeah, I mean, I think I definitely still do. I definitely have a little bit of a different relationship with
okay.
it. Where there, it's like a little bit feels less like wonder and more like a challenge in
oh.
a way. Where like, I think I have enough proof now that I can like when you're like, first starting to do it, like it's like, can I even do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, and now I feel like confident in that process.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. In some ways, I feel like I wish I could like get into that mindset, you know, again of like just starting to write my own songs, because like you can never kind of go back there. But at the same time, I do actually feel much more confident now that like I can get something that I love.
So you're not feeling jaded yet, or
I don't think so. It still is really fun, and like it's something where it's like, I would do it anyways. Like, I'm always kind of thinking about stuff and processing stuff in real time and mm-hmm. evaluating how I feel about stuff. And it's like, for me, like, I can't imagine not having outlet with that stuff.
Okay, now I have another stupid question.
It's not going to be stupid, but I can't wait to hear it.
I mean, like, one of my favorite songs from David Kushner is Mr. Forgettable,
mm-hmm.
which is a song that you produced and co-wrote,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I can't help but think, you know what? I think it would have been quite something if Alexander 23 was the one who performed this song. So, you know, I'm always curious, like people like you, people like Ryan Tedder,
mm-hmm.
like how do you decide, okay, I think this one belongs to someone else, and how do you decide, you know what, I think this one is for me?
So I think different people approach this differently. For me, mm-hmm. there's always like an intention going in of what it's going to be for.
Mm.
So I rarely have, like, I feel like someone like Ryan's a good example of like the opposite, where it's
right.
like a song appears and then he decides, mm-hmm. you know, is this a War Republic song? Is this, am I picking it this person or this person? Should I finish it with this person? For me, it's pretty much always like, I'm writing for this purpose. This is what it's going to be. And I know going in that like, this is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And then just like your previous EP, this album ends with a somber note.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. You and I, right?
You and me.
Oh, you and me.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. R.I.P. You and me. But your previous EP, you closed it with "Sad."
Is that the first one? Was the last song? Said yeah. And then I guess track nine.
Was this? Oh wait, track nine. Wait, "Sad" was.
I'm sorry. I love you.
I'm sorry. I love you. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you always
all
close
good.
Your record with a sad note.
Mm-hmm.
And why? I mean,
so for me, I guess it's not really. It's certainly somber, but I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure if it's sad. I think like in track nine and RIP You and Me,
uh-huh.
at least for me, there's like, I view it is sad, but it's like through a prism of hope.
Okay.
You know, I think there's like a certain optimism
uh-huh.
that is there. So I would go with somber instead
somber.
Of sad. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good word.
Okay. You know?
All right. I get it. But have you ever like maybe mused the idea of maybe making something a bit lighthearted next time.
Yeah, no, I've definitely messed around with it. I think it's like, I've had this conversation with my mom actually. Okay. She's like, because anyone who like knows me in person is like, you're not really sad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really like that sad of a person, which is kind of ironic, you know? But like, yeah. The thing is, like, when I'm happy, like, I don't feel called to like go write a song about it. Mm-hmm. I like go play basketball with my friends or like just hang out, you know? Like,
right.
When I'm sad, that's when I like want to do something with that feeling, you know? Mm. And so I think you get, you know, an outsized portion of my songs being okay. sad, because that's just, I consider songs like a place to put feelings, you know? And I don't really want to put my happy feelings anywhere. I want to keep them for myself. So it's like the sad stuff, that's the stuff I want to get rid of.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you,
Alexander.
Very nice to meet you.
I'm looking forward for your happier stuff next time.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it. Album 2 is going to be fully happy.
Okay.
But no, thank you. I mean, those were really thoughtful questions.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Okay, guys, check out Alexander 23's latest album, Aftershock, wherever you stream your favorite music. And we'll see you next time with the more episodes of the Felix Martua series. Bye.